This is Line Break, where we deconstruct poetry written by young writers and discuss the inspiration and intention behind their poems. Take a pause and enjoy the line breaks. Here's episode 43, where I talk with Coraline Hart about her poem, Lemonade. I hope you enjoy!
Hi, my name is Coraline Hart. I'm a writer, and this is my poem, Lemonade. The sour taste sizzles on your tongue. Sweetness stings your taste buds. Hot summer beams on us when we're young. Ice cools the drink so it suds. The sweet and sour brings back splashes of sunburned, chlorine-soaked children, not thinking about incoming classes. The couple play a tune for the steamed night while sweet and sour collide. Lightning bugs grow bright in hopes that one day she'll be my bride. That's what I think of summer serenade whenever I drink lemonade.
Oh, thank you so much. What was your inspiration for this?
It was actually in an old prompt book that I have that I got several years ago. And it just had one word, it said lemonade. And I've never drank lemonade in the winter. So it made me think of the summer. And I just remember being in my neighborhood and having that pool that all the kids in the neighborhood would like ride their bikes to go in and swim around all day. And just having sunburns and just smelling like chlorine in the car while we drove home with the windows down. And it was just, yeah.
There is one line in here, the sweet and sour brings back splashes of sunburned chlorine-soaked children. And that totally reminded me of being young. And like, I looked at the pool in my neighborhood when I was younger because I lived in Florida. And there's nothing else to do in the summer besides be in the pool.
Right.
I always smelled like chlorine. I always had Capri Suns. I always had popsicles. It was like such a little kid thing. And I feel like this poem definitely reminded me of that.
Yeah, the nostalgia just kind of hits you and it's like, oh, I remember that.
Yeah, exactly. So there's so many lines in here that I love, like the sour taste sizzles on your tongue, sweetness stings your taste buds. I love the like rhythm and alliteration here. How do you play around with the sounds of words in your writing?
I mostly do them by accident. Like I said, this was like my first time doing poetry by myself without a teacher. And I just kind of was like, whenever I drink lemonade, it's always like the sweet and the sour. And I love sour things and sweet things. And it was just like how they feel in your mouth. Like, have you ever had that like tingle in your jaw? Whenever that happens, it just made me think of that. And it was like, oh, that's lemonade.
That reminds me of how the blue sour gummy worms are the best flavor.
They always are the best flavor.
Of course, blue sour, that's it. I won't have any other kind.
Right.
So I actually learned this term because I was trying to think of like the word for like when words sound good.
Right.
So it's called phonesthetics. I don't know if you know about it, but it's the study of beauty and pleasantness associated with the sounds of certain words and phrases, which wow. I was like, oh, that is so cool because I think a lot of times I do it unintentionally in my writing where I try to make the words like sound pretty. So I found this example of like Edgar Allan Poe in one of his stories was the sulken, sad, uncertain rustling of each purple curtain and how like that all fits together and sounds really nice.
Yeah. Like it all flows and it's really like kind of satisfying to hear. Like the word crisp. Crisp is like a really satisfying word.
Yeah. And there's another one because this was a tenure rates conversation YWP of like words that just sound good. Crisp, and there's one other about like apples. I can't remember what it was, but it was really interesting. I think I definitely do that. I don't know if I'm always aware of it while I'm writing, but definitely when I'm going back through the poem and like editing it, I look and I'm like, oh, that is definitely a nice phrase.
Yeah, and it's really awesome when it just happens all by accident. And you're like, I didn't even realize I did that.
Yeah, like a little puzzle piece that fits together perfectly.
Yeah.
So some more lines. Hot summer beams on us when we're young. I like this idea that like when you're young, you're being thrown into like this light and the sunbeam and like being bright and happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like my parents used to tell us, when you're older, you don't get summer. And it's like, well, when you're young, the hot sun, you can really feel the heat, but when you're working, you're just working. You don't really get to acknowledge that summer feel, you know, not being in the pool or being sunburned, you're just working.
Yeah. And like, you're not, you don't feel like the absence of school, because I feel like a big part of summer is the absence of like all these other things, like worrying about grades, or even though I'm worrying about grades right now, and like being with friends and being carefree and not having a schedule and that kind of thing.
Yeah, like having a total break and it being like you can just like relax and kind of like the lazy song from Bruno Mars, like every day.
Where on Gilmore Girls, I don't know if you've seen that, but best TV show ever. There's this one episode of like lazy, hazy summer days, and like it's a song or something. Like that's just so summery to me.
Right.
So another line, your ending actually. That's why I think of Summer Serenade whenever I drink lemonade. Right. I love how this just seems kind of like an old fashioned song in a way, like a sweet little dance.
I love classical music. I love the tune. I love everything. And there is a song by, I'm going to mess up his name, Schubert. I think that's his name. And he has a song called Serenade. And if you want to write like the perfect villain, like, listen to that song. It's awesome. And I actually looked up the meaning behind Serenade, and it is a musical piece of honoring something, like someone or something. And it's also falling down slowly. So I'm honoring summer, but summer also falls down slowly or fast, depending on what year it is. And yeah, so I thought that was pretty cool to put in.
That's a really cool meaning. I've never heard of that kind of interpretation of it, but that's really cool. I love classical music. I love all music, actually. But I took piano lessons for 12 years, so I know quite a bit of classical piano music. And Moonlight Sonata by Beethoven, if I ever took lessons again, my only goal would be how to learn that piece, because it's just incredible. I feel like music definitely does remind me of summer, especially like just laid back pop songs that you listen to with the windows down.
Yeah, Happy by Pharrell Williams does make a little bit of memories in there. So yeah, summer and music definitely go together hand in hand.
Mm-hmm. And classical music, I feel like, is definitely a villain kind of genre.
Yeah,
not always, but there's something a little bit mysterious about it that I feel fits in very well with like a very weird character.
Yeah, like Swan Lake by Tchaikovsky.
Oh yeah,
yeah,
yeah. It's so cool how like music relates to personalities. I mean, maybe it's just for me, like as a musician slash writer, that like I see songs as very specific personalities, but like that's definitely a thing.
Yeah, like I was actually listening to some classical music. It was actually on a villain playlist that I actually heard the song for the first time, Serenade. And I was writing my book and it was all happy and cheery. And I'm like, oh, it's going to be dark now. And it's going to have a gloomy mood. Yes.
Because it goes along with the playlist.
Yeah.
That makes a lot of sense. What's your book about?
My book is a genre of both fantasy and post-apocalyptic. Yeah, it's called a gunpowder fantasy. It has guns in it. It also has like bulletproof vests and like fallen cities and all that. It's really cool.
That sounds so interesting. I think post-apocalyptic stories are very interesting because definitely feels like the world we're living in sometimes.
Oh yes, it does.
The other thing that I want to say about my poem is that I feel like a lot of it relates to my writing now, because I've been writing about like being young a lot lately and like youth and childhood memories, because I'm going to be 18 in a couple of months and it's freaking me out. It's exciting, but like I think about it all the day and it's weird to me. And I'm going to be graduating from college soon and starting my bachelor's degree. So it's just like a lot of things going on. And it makes me feel really sentimental and nostalgic for when I was younger, even like the not so good times.
Yeah, like we moved recently from this place that we lived in for like 5 years, and we have to go there sometimes, like for groceries or and I'll just like look into my old neighborhood and be like, wow, I used to like ride my bike and I used to play with all my friends, and now I live in the middle of nowhere. And wow, those were the glory days.
Yeah, I used to live in this, I guess it was kind of a neighborhood of different apartment buildings, and I moved to a different apartment at one point, and it was weird to go back to the building where I used to live and kind of see like that used to be my house, but now someone else lives there, and like imagining another family in my room and like another person doing all these things in the room where like I used to sleep. It's weird to me.
Yeah, like we'll pass my old house because my mom had friends who lived in the neighborhood too. And I'll be like, there's a different family in that house with different furniture and different kids and a different dog and a different cat. Like, what are they doing in there?
Infested by strangers.
It's
It's such a weird feeling though.
like it's like so like what are they doing?
And also, our next door neighbors moved a couple of months ago, and our new neighbors moved in, and I was in their house like with the old neighbors and with the new neighbors, so like comparing their like how they decorated their house and like what furniture they have, and like it's a very weird experience to go into other people's houses.
It is.
Tangent. Anyway, so other questions. How did you first become interested in writing?
Oh, where do I start? I was 4, and my mom said ever since I came out, I've just been obsessed with stories and writing. Like, I just, ever since I could pick up a pencil, I love to write. Now, of course, I've had like these imaginary friends who I didn't realize were characters. And they kind of like lived in my head when I was younger, just have been crazy as I've always been. And I've always used to like free write. Like I would think of like scenes. Of course, I didn't know they were scenes, and I would just like write them out. And it was only until 2 years ago that I was like, wait, I can write something else instead of just the same old story I've been planning in my head for years. And yeah, I've been writing short stories since January. I've really been opening up myself to all possible conclusions, and stories and just everything. Just letting my mind just truly just empty itself on paper. Just not even being worried about boundaries or anything.
I think it's really great to give yourself that kind of freedom with your creative work and to not kind of be restricted by like, oh, I gotta follow these rules or these guidelines or whatever. I think
Yeah.
it feels very freeing when you finally just let yourself pour all your stuff out on paper.
Yeah.
I used to have a lot of imaginary friends too. I think I talked about this before on one podcast episode, but when I was younger, I had 99 brothers and 98 sisters. There were a lot of us, and we lived in a pink house. And I had a mom and dad. My dad was from Italy. My mom was from China. I don't really know how that worked out, but very imaginative. I had an evil stepsister that I hated. And
Course.
yes, of course. And my dad, my imaginary dad, even died from lung cancer at one point, which kind of dark. Went through
Yeah.
a lot of twists and turns with this imaginary family, but that was like the bulk of my childhood was just talking about my imaginary family.
Yeah, I will forever kick myself in the foot because one summer I was like, you know what? I want to have this idea on paper. And I was about 8 or 9 by the time. I had this thick, like a th thick piece of paper worth like about 100 papers of the story that I wrote all summer and handwritten too. I threw it in the trash can because I didn't think it was worth anything. And now I can't even like trace my steps or like trace my progress. So that's why I'm like keeping like my notes and everything and just tracking my progress.
Oh, that's why I think it's so important to keep everything that you write, even though, like, even if you hate it, just like keep it because I know you're going to want it at some point.
Yeah, like my novel, my friend's mom actually did like a publishing kind of thing, but she wouldn't publish it. She would just print out the book. So you could have as many copies as you want without it being in a Barnes and Noble. And that's what I plan on doing with my novel, to have it up on the shelf and just not like have it as my own trophy, but kind of, but it's more of like memorabilia and able to track my progress and like, okay, that's what I did wrong. Let's do something a little bit better next time or try and fix this. How about not go all out, but like try to, need a little relax on the reins a little bit and all that.
Yeah, I think it's really cool to have little mementos and kind of physical copies of things that you've written, because a lot of my writing is on my computer, and I forget to save a lot of it, which has been disastrous. But it's cool to have physical copies. Like, I have a poetry collection that I actually made. I didn't publish it. I just printed it out and like put hooks through it pretty much to kind of bind it for my high school English class. And it's really cool to have that and to be able to like flip through and be like, ooh, I wrote this.
Yeah, like your own kind of like little trophy, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So, which brings me to a related question. What do you want to do with your writing in the future?
Aha. I want to become an author and write a series slash trilogy that I've been making up for the last 14 years of my life. Yeah, that's what I
Very
want to do.
exciting.
Yeah, I'm even at my school, they do like a career path kind of thing. Like you can choose whatever career you want and they can help you plan it out and how to get there. And I chose author, but if that doesn't work out, I can always be an editor. So yeah.
Good idea, good ideas. I'm thinking about what I'm doing. I'm not really sure. It's something to do with writing. I know I'm starting with writing, but I've been thinking about like screenwriting for TV shows, movies, working in podcasting since I have my own podcast already. Some experience with that. That'll be really cool. So I do feel a bit of pressure to decide what I'm doing, but I think it's really nice to be able to explore different areas of writing and kind of see what interests you. I'm also taking a creative writing class in the fall at my college, and I'm a little bit scared because I've taken writing workshops before, and but I've never done like a specific creative writing class, so I hope it goes well.
Yeah, I hope that works well for you too. Sounds really exciting.
I also I'm too scared to take a specifically poetry class at my college because I know I will at some point, but like the fear of like being told my poetry isn't good. I don't know. I can't handle it.
Yeah, actually another work of mine, Death's Narrative, it was the first post I made on YWP. And that was actually for a school project.
Really?
Yeah, it was from a poem by Robert Herrick, Da to Daffodils. My teacher read it and he said, "This seems like something that would be published." And that's what I did. And I even have the paper. He marked like what was good, what was bad, what was too redundant. And yeah, I'm pretty welcoming to most of all feedback because I know that that negative feedback will tell me what I need to fix and how to improve my writing.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, that phrase that like the biggest room is improvement, or there's always room for improvement, or something like that.
Yeah.
I think it's always true. I mean, criticism definitely hurts at times, and I can be like my own worst critic. I put a lot of pressure on myself for a lot of different things, but I do think that criticism helps. I mean, it's good to be aware of like where you and how you can grow. But also like being a perfectionist at the same time, like
I have to deal with that all the time. I'm like, it's not perfect when it's the first draft. Like, it's fine.
Yes, and I always want to get like everything right on my first try. So it's very frustrating when I have to like take some time to learn and like actually get better at things and not just be like a pro my first time. So, related question to what we were just talking about. How did you discover YWP and what role does it play in your life?
I discovered YWP on an article for teenagers because I really wanted to publish Death's Narrative, but the publisher who I sent it to was for adults, so they rejected it. I found YWP, I just liked it. I liked the idea of teenagers who are my age or older having the same love that I share with writing, and I'm pretty much alone. I had a friend who was interested in writing, but she moved away. And I've just loved it ever since. I like going on there. And even if it is like songs or photography, something that it's not in my world, I still like it because I can appreciate all kinds of art, even if it isn't my own.
I think that's great. I'm so excited that you've been enjoying YWP. I have been sending off some of my poems to some publishing, literary magazines, that kind of place. I was rejected a few times, which is upsetting. No, I respect it. But I sent some off to my honor society because they have a anthology of writing.
And
yeah, a literary journal. And they publish it every year. And I submitted it, I think, in March or April. And I won't hear back until September/October. So I've been waiting a while. Honestly, kind of forgot about it, but hope it's good news at least.
Yeah.
It's very exciting because it's a very pretty journal. And they put it in libraries too. I'm guessing just college libraries, but still, it's cool.
Yeah, still, it's published. I mean, it's out there. It's printed on paper. So
yeah. So what books and authors have shaped you as a writer and a human being? This is a classic line break question.
I would have to say A Discovery of Witches by Deborah Harkness. It's a trilogy. It's about witches, demons, vampires, this world and magical realism. And it's so fun to read. They go back in time. It's like a forbidden love. It's like Romeo and Juliet with a good ending. And I love it so much. And I'm actually reading The Sun Also Rises by Ernest Hemingway. And I have to say it is a really good summer read. I read a lot of books that my English teacher, who's the one who told me I should publish Death's Narrative, lend me a lot of his books. And I am just obsessed with like H.G. Wells, Douglas Adams. I'm just obsessed with like all of these people who he showed me. And I just will be forever grateful for that because they were so good books.
I think it's great to have someone like recommend really good books because a lot of times like I don't have the same kind of reading preferences as someone else, so I'm like, eh, I don't know if I'd like that, but like when you get something good you're like, oh yes. I started reading The Sun Also Rises. I got distracted for about a year and a half, but I think I'll get back to it. And then I also bought two other Hemingway books, Garden of Eden possibly, and I can't remember the other one, but I love collecting classic books because I haven't really read that many besides like The Secret Garden, 1984, other books like that. So I'm excited to start reading some more classics. And I think it's really nice to go back to that kind of like old school writing time because I love Agatha Christie. Always going to love her books. So it's really cool to look back at her writing and like how she created stories because there's definitely a lot to learn.
Yeah, like I just love a specific writing style that has a good voice and has good descriptions, and Hemingway definitely has that, and so does Deborah Harkness I mentioned.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about Agatha Christie that I really like, and I was just reading an article about her in New York Times actually, about how her characters were so like benign and so like just normal, like they didn't come off as like these crazy pathological killers or whatever, even though they were. I mean, like you wouldn't have known by just looking at them or talking to them, and then you go on this like crazy mystery where like you have no idea what's going to happen, and you think one thing, you're like completely certain it's going to come out this way, and then in the last 10 pages you're like, what, it's completely changed, but it still has this like very neat ending. And so yeah. Her writing is just chef's kiss, incredible.
Yeah, I think a movie, I actually watched it recently with my family at night, Silence of the Lambs. Like, it's, yeah. I just, like, the Hannibal Lecter seems like a guy you would meet on the street. I mean, but he eats people, and that's kind of terrifying.
Yeah, that's pretty terrifying. I do not do well with horror movies or anything scary. Definitely a scaredy cat. I like reading horror like books and psychological thrillers, but I cannot watch it. Like I'm watching Outer Banks and I don't think it's really that scary. I mean, but a lot of it does freak me out. So just, I have very low horror movie thresholds.
Same. Honestly, my mother and my brother were watching It on Halloween. Ooh. I got like a scene of the movie and I was like, nope.
No. No, thank you. I know Stephen King, I'm sorry, but I can't go there. We'll never. As soon as I saw the clown, I was like, it's over. It's over for me. Sorry.
I can't do it. I respect my brain and my dreams that it will come with.
I will eat my fingernails before I watch it. And it's just clowns. Freak me out.
Yeah, my mom has the same problem. It's like any clown, she's like, no.
Like, I'm not scared of a lot of things, but also a lot of things. Like, clowns freak me out. Scared of heights. Scared of frogs, which everyone's always like, why? But no, they freak me out. And I used to say that I was allergic to spiders, snakes, and alligators, which just meant that I was scared of them. And that's pretty much true now. Don't like spiders, don't like snakes.
Yeah.
Not really an outdoorsy person, as you can tell.
Yeah. Before I lived here in this house, I was pretty scared of spiders. Like, even like the little backyard spiders, I would just... But now it's spider season over here, and there are literally spiders everywhere. And they're not like those teeny little grass spiders. They're like almost as big as my face. Like, and there's webs everywhere. Like, you see them all around.
Oh, that sounds scary. Don't like spiders. It's weird. So many things freak me out. Also, like, probably not small spaces, but like, you know, when you're walking through a warehouse store like Costco, and they've got really, really tall shelves and like really kind of narrow aisles, and you feel like you're kind of just like stuck in it. I don't like that.
Yeah, I feel that.
I feel like it's not like claustrophobia, because I don't feel like I'm claustrophobic, but if I get stuck in an elevator, I would be 100% claustrophobic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway, more tangents. So, what is your favorite genre to read, and which is your favorite to write? I feel like these can kind of differ a lot.
Yeah, I like fantasy to read. I basically like reading everything. I'm pretty open. I'm an open book. And I like humor, but I just find that in my writing, I'm more of a horror person. Like, I just like things to be like dark and morbid. I don't know why, but that's just like my protagonist in my novel. She's like, it's supposed to be summer, and she's supposed to like be in love with the water, but she's just kind of like this dark anti-hero that has like this secret past, and she's just kind of like dark inside, and you can see like the whole book just being affected by that gloomy mood. It's really weird.
I think it's really interesting how like these two kind of ways of seeing writing exist in writers. Are like, I read a lot of I like historical fiction, I like modern stuff, mysteries, but I don't think I could ever write a mystery that would like be good. I feel like at some point it just become like a coming of age book.
Yeah, like if I ever wrote a mystery book, it would just be a ripoff of an episode off of like NCIS or something. Like,
yeah, or mine would be like one of those choose your adventure books.
Yeah,
something very basic. But I don't write a lot of fiction. I write I used to write short stories a lot. I started a couple of novels, never finished them. Got like 50 pages into one and then stopped. But I do want to get more into short stories, and I wanted to write a novel at one point, but I don't know what's going to happen now.
Yeah, like there have been multiple times where I'm through my novel and I'm like, I can't do it. It's too many words. I'm done. And then I get up from my seat. I go make myself a cup of tea. I look into the office and I'm like, well, dang it. Now I have to do it. And I sit down and I have to write.
It's good to be motivated like that, though. I feel like I can just close my computer and forget about it, or close my notebook and it's gone for another couple of months until I'm like, oh wait, what about that story I was working on? But it is cool to see how like the things that I write also correlate a lot to like what I'm reading at the time. Like, I read this really good book maybe like 2 years ago. I have a copy of it. The Water Cure. It's like it was described as a feminist dystopia where like there's these sisters who are like on this island, and they live there like with their parents and like no one else. and they have to do all these like really weird remedies and like rituals and stuff, and then these people come to the island and like disrupt their whole dynamic. It's a very good book, very creepy, very good though. And so I started to write a book that was very much based on like that kind of dynamic between the sisters and their mother. And it was interesting to see how I wasn't copy and pasting it, but like very similar to that kind of writing style and way of like writing.
Yeah, like there's a show that me and my mom just love. It's called Expedition Unknown with Josh Gates. And I was watching it the other day, and it was where he was in this pyramid, and there was like this priest in this Egyptian tomb, and it was the priest of the Egyptian god Thoth. And I was like, wouldn't it be cool? There's like this girl who went to Egypt, and she realized that she was like a helper of Thoth, and she had to go into the underworld. I'm just like, oh yeah, inspiration time.
That's so cool how you can just be like inspired by something that doesn't really seem like it could inspire you, you know. Yeah. And just find inspiration in unlikely places.
Mm-hmm.
So I have another book related question, my last question. When you go to bookstores, what section do you look at first? I feel like this is a very fun question.
Oh dear, I don't even I think fantasy, like I mentioned before, science fiction. I do spend a lot of time on Goodreads and Pinterest, so I know what kind of like good books people mostly like. But I have known that I am like the different opinion. I don't really like popular books all that much, that are in the mainstream media and all that. So I mostly try to look for indie books. I mostly just like walk into bookstores and just look at the covers that I like, read their synopsis, and if I like them, then I like them. Like I said, I'm open to all genres, and I don't really have a favorite. I just like all books.
I always go to the used section or like the discounted section because I feel like you can find some good stuff there. Like at once I went to Barnes & Noble, the one in the town I live in, and there's a used section that's very disorganized. If they ever, well, I applied to work at Barnes & Noble, they rejected me, but if they ever hired me, I would have sorted that out meticulously, and it would have been so neat and so precise and so organized, but alas, they did not hire me. Anyway, I found a copy of a book, I think it was 13 Little Blue Envelopes by Maureen Johnson. Pretty good book. I used to like it a lot when I was in middle school. And it was signed, and it was $2. And I was so excited to find a signed copy. And I feel like that's just so exciting to me, instead of getting like a new book that like no one's ever touched, like something that someone has used before, that's got their writing in it, that's got a signature from the author, like an autographed copy. It's very cool to me to find that kind of thing.
Yeah, like there's book thrift shops in a city nearby, and I told my mom I want to go there. I want to go there for my birthday.
I was watching a YouTube video of this girl who went to this Goodwill that's just for books, like Goodwill Books or something, and I was like, oh my gosh, that sounds like the coolest thing, because the Goodwills in Vermont they're okay. I mean, there's a good amount of books, but not like anything spectacular. So I would love to go to one that's like just books and like nothing else.
Yeah, it sounds really cool because you don't really know what you're expecting. And we used to have another bookstore where I used to live, Secondhand Charles, and you would literally just go in and you would just find whatever book you wanted. Do you know the book Safe Haven by Nicholas Sparks?
Oh yeah.
I found that book in Secondhand Charles, and it was $3.
Oh my gosh. That is so cool. I love good finds like that. And also, there's this bookstore in Middlebury, Vermont. It's kind of in the middle of nowhere, and it looks like a very sketchy warehouse. There's a bunch of like storage units next to it. Very questionable from the outside. But when you go in, it's like floor to ceiling, absolutely packed with books, like hundreds and hundreds of thousands of books. It's incredible. And like, they're so organized so precisely. And some of them are brand new, some of them are from like the 1800s, some of them are like from anywhere in between, small and big and tiny, and like it's just so cool to me like how many books are there and how many, like how much care is in it. Because I feel like when you go into a bookstore, you can definitely tell how much the owner cares about it.
Right. Like we were in a antique shop one day, and I found this huge dictionary, and it was a Webster's dictionary, I think from 1958. And it is as wide, well, not as wide, but as thick as my palm.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It's pretty big. And it was, I think it was like $15 or something. It was a really cool find.
That is so cool. I just love finding good books. I've gotten so many books from that bookstore. I go there like every few months, and they always have really big sales too, like this huge bin out front where every book is like less than a dollar. Just incredible. And I just like strive to have that kind of passion for books, where like I would have this big creepy warehouse that I just fill with every book that I've ever found and like organize it so perfectly. It's the organization for me. It's the alphabetized shelves for me. I just love it.
Yeah, I like the smell of the bookstores. Like when you like flip through a book and you can smell like all the dust and everything, it's like the best smell ever.
Yes. And also I have a picture of it just to show you, to give you an idea of what I'm talking about, because I love it so much. I've gone there so many times, and the owner of the bookstore always gives me like 20% off of the books, like perpetually, no matter when we go there.
Wow.
Okay. This is just one corner of it.
Oh my goodness.
Floor to ceiling books. And here's another one. It's just,
it's to go to Vermont.
It's like incredible. I love it so much. There's nothing like it. So yes, books are great. Bookstores are incredible. Well, those are all my questions. Thank you so much for talking with me today. I've had a lot of fun.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me on your podcast. It's been fun, and I've just been excited for it ever since you messaged me.
This has been episode 43 of Line Break. I hope you enjoyed, and stay tuned for episode 44. Bye!